control of your radio out of the hands of companies and into the hands of the community. But maintaining this sort of radio requires you. Your pledge of support keeps KPFT on the air as a vital community resource. So call our membership department at 713-526-4000, extension 314, to become a member today. You can even go online at kpft.org to make your pledge. Your pledge is essential to keep listener sponsorship viable for generations to come. So call 713-526-4000 to support KPFT. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
I know we started with the unruffled beat of Ray Lynch's Clouds Below Your Knees, such calming, beautiful, wonderful music. But let's face it, Halloween and the Day of the Dead are around the corner, so I had to throw in a little Alfred Hitchcock to get in the mood. For those of you who remember, that is the soundtrack of Psycho. Whoa! One of the scariest movies I've ever seen in my life. To tell you the truth, then this is the very truth. When I saw that movie, for the next 2 weeks, I slept with the light on and the radio on. Oh, scary. But back to the present. It is 8 p.m. Thursday, October 29th, and time for So What's Your Story? The only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling, and it's right here on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Listen, guys, there have been several fun drives, and even outside of fun drives, it would be great if you contributed to KPFT.org. If you go to the website, kpft.org, and hit donate, it will lead you through a set of screens to donate money, and you can find our show on the list of shows, So What's Your Story, and highlight us as the reason you're donating. It doesn't have to be a fun drive. It's just about survival. Back to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Mary Edgerton, better known as Dr. E among my students, along with an ensemble of gifted hosts, Dr. Hank Rubicek, our producer and the show's founder, Greg Audell, appearing with Floyd the Wonder Dog, and Dr. Warren Holloman, our master of wellness. Not to mention our extended family of guest hosts, Harwood Taylor and Chris Gorman, Eric Heen, Paul Topikian, and of course, our many guest storytellers. Our team goes beyond hosts and storytellers. Well, usually it goes beyond hosts and storytellers, except that we're not producing in the studio right now. So I would love to introduce our engineers, but sadly, we're flying solo right now. It's 2020. Would you have expected anything different? As everyone knows, we are still living in COVID time. It's real. KPFT closed the station to volunteers since last March. We have gone to a different paradigm, so to speak, of bringing stories told by storytellers to you. The stories are recorded live with the teller, and then voila, with some audio magic, we splice them into a show for you. So can I say almost live? And trust me, enough live reactions left that I can say there is no way that the show could be mistaken for a zombie version of So What's Your Story? No, it's much more alive than that. I love having a group of guests on to contrast their stories and styles. Tonight, I have invited Rob Hallett, Kelly Kills, Sneha Desai, Ruth Wentz, and Nadia Hakim to share stories of costumes with you. So here we are, 2 days until Halloween, counting down. So what better topic? Let's get going. Hey, Rob. Here we are. It's the middle of the pandemic. Halloween's around the corner. And have you ever tried to be somebody that you weren't?
Well, yeah, every day of my life, but you know.
Yes, you are the one who applied to be an astronaut.
Thanks.
But let's say, you ever dress up like something you weren't?
Ooh, do I have to answer that question? So,
ooh, no. Okay, let me make it simpler. Costumes. Do you ever wear costumes?
Okay. Yeah, right. Okay, but... You know, yes, costumes, but we all wear costumes and, you know, we wear work costumes, we wear play costumes, sports costumes. So I guess I have a story about a workout costume. And, you know, I mean, whatever your workout is, whether it's taking the dog for a walk or going for a run or lifting weights, everyone has sort of their workout outfit or outfits. And there was a period of time when I was in better shape and a little bit more focused on working out. And we had a treadmill in our house. And our house is a little bit unique in that it's small, and we had our treadmill located in our master bedroom. I mean, it just wouldn't work in the man cave or the computer cave, where would be the natural place to put a treadmill in front of a window where you could, you know, get on the treadmill and gaze out the window. So our treadmill just really worked in our master bedroom due to space. And so you faced an interior wall and there was no windows. It was kind of cave-like, but such that it was, that was the way that it was going to have to work. And so one particular day, I was home alone, no kids, no wife, and I felt like I wanted to work out. So I got my, you know, music set up and started looking for my costume, you know, which consisted of workout shorts and workout shirt, socks, and running shoes. And I had worked out enough that I just couldn't really find a clean outfit. I went through every drawer. How can this be? I have lots of extra shorts and shirts, all dirty. So off to the dirty clothes and rifle through a dirty pair of shorts. But it was just too nasty even for a guy to consider to reuse a yesterday's dirty running shorts. So then it occurred to me, you know, I'm home alone and kind of all you really need to run on the treadmill is socks and shoes, right? Was it really going to be necessary to have the shirt and the shorts to run? And I kind of dismissed that at first and then kind of thought to myself, you know, as humans, our ancestors probably ran wherever, you know, we evolved in Africa or the Middle East, you know, without clothing options. So I'm sure it was going to be okay if I could overcome sort of the shock effect. And bearing in mind, there was no windows. So I closed the door. You know, I found Born Free, the music, you know, and downloaded that so I could play that for my first 2 or 3 minutes of the run. Put my headphones in. And got on the treadmill and started running wearing just socks and shoes, right? It was kind of horrifying at first, and then it felt sort of freeing. And I, you know, kind of was getting into it. You know, I'll avoid any discussion about the obvious physics of running without clothes. But, you know, like I say, you can make it work, right? You can make it work. No chafing is the one sort of good, no clothing chafing. nothing to worry about there. All good until, unbeknownst to me, my spouse showed up at home. I couldn't hear her coming through the back door because I had my headphones on, right? And, you know, she yelled for me, didn't hear, could hear the treadmill on, came around, opened the door, and screamed, right? At what point I just about jumped off the treadmill to, you know, what the H are you doing, right? And she thought I was doing something I shouldn't, but I explained that I was just running on the treadmill naked. Kind of shook her head, like, you know, confirming that her thoughts that I was and remained an absolute idiot. So no matter how I tried to explain that, you know, I haven't done it since, but, you know, I guess it's a story of not wearing a costume there.
Not wearing a costume, wearing your birthday suit. Yeah, yeah. And I love the music theme for that, Born Free.
Can't you see the lions running in Africa, you know?
Oh, yes, yes. And just that whole concept of freedom. Oh. Right. Okay, well, I'm going to avoid going down a path on that one, but you know what? I am going to call in Kelly Kells, because Kelly Kells is a trainer. What do you? So, Kelly, what do you think of that? And then secondly, you have your costume story.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, do you ever tell your clients, you know, if you're having a hard time getting into the mood, just take everything off. Play Born Free.
Well, yes. No. But that was hilarious, especially about the physics. So I have to start by saying that anytime I ever get a compliment about something that I'm wearing, it's something that it's never something that belongs to me or something that I picked out for myself. It's always something that either that I got from my friend Egypt, but usually it's something that my brother picked out for me or something that he got for me or something that I stole from out of his closet. Only time I get a compliment. So this is about my brother and him styling me, but not for an outfit this time. It's about a costume. So it's Halloween, and if you know me or my family, you know that we grew up in church. Like, we literally grew up in church. We were there Sundays, Wednesdays, Fridays, Tuesdays, Saturdays, Thursdays. We were at church every single day of the week. We could have just changed our dress to the church house, and that would have made more sense. That being said, we did not celebrate Halloween at all. Like, that was not happening at our house. There was a couple of things in my childhood that I could have pushed the envelope with my parents, but Halloween was not one of them. So it's Halloween, and my mom, she's a nurse, and so she, at the time, worked 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. at night. Pretty much the shift that she worked my entire childhood. And so she was going to work and on this particular Halloween, and I was usually the only one sitting there, like walking her to her car, making sure that she got to the car safe and out of my sight safe. And usually I was the only one, or standing at the door or at the window if it was raining, making sure that she got away safely, or just standing there almost near tears, begging her to take me with her, begging her just not to leave me with these idiots, because I had three big brothers and a dad, but I don't think my dad was there this day. So usually I was there alone, waving to my mom goodbye. But on this particular day, my brother was there too, my brother Courtney. And Courtney was just, all right, mama, bye-bye, see you, love you, smooching, mwah, which was completely unlike him, which I should have known something was up right then. Courtney says, come here, let's go. So I go into the room, and Courtney, he hands me these big old baggy pants. And I remember the pants, they had this crease, and Courtney, he would use starch. And so this was the 90s, and he would like make his own starch out of like flour and water. I don't know if anybody else has done that, But like I said, this was the 90s, so he was heavy on the flower. Like, these pants could just stand up on their own. He gives me this big, baggy black shirt, and then he wraps a bandana around my head. And so I'm just like, okay, what are we doing? Which, you know, for my brothers, like, you just never knew. And so I was like, what are we doing? We're playing dress up, and this is fun. And like, I'm not thinking Halloween at all, because we did not think about Halloween. Courtney says, I'm giving you a costume so that you can go and get some candy for us. And so at first I was like, huh? And then I was like, okay, wow, now this is one of your more brilliant ideas. Okay, I can walk with you on this one. And I said, okay, but, you know, where's my costume? Like, this is not a costume. And he said, well, if anybody asks you, tell them that you're a thug. And I said, okay, I'm thinking about the candy. And I said, okay, cool, I'm with it. I'm on board. I'm actually hyped up. But the longer, or like the closer that it got to showtime, I got more and more scared. I had like an existential crisis as a kid. I was just like, you know, now is this really worth going to hell for? And I had to weigh the risks and the reward. And I just figured, okay, I'll just go do a little bit. And, you know, it's like, it's nothing. And plus, this is not a costume anyway. So I said, I'm just going to go do one. I'm sitting there, I'm weighing it. And I chose the streets. So I'm out there and I'm scared. I go next door because I'm at a calculated risk. I said, okay, surely she's not going to, you know, put razor blades in my candy or give me the candy that has the razor blades in it, because we know her. So I'm walking up to the house and I'm really scared, and somebody needs to do research, maybe Sneha actually, or there has to be a strong correlation between people who like really, really grew up in church and mental issues. Because I was standing there shaking, thinking that my whole entire salvation was on the line. Things I didn't need to weigh as a 10-year-old. And so I'm scared. I go up, knock on the door, knock, knock. And she comes to the door, and I'm like, trick or treat. And she's like, oh, Kelly is so cute. And she really should have known better. Because she knew all the years that she lived next door to us, she never saw us out there celebrating no Halloween. And then here I was at her doorstep, like, I don't have a mama on the sidewalk or nothing, and she's entertaining this. She's like, well, what are you? And even then, y'all, I knew that I didn't want to just say that I was a thug. I wanted to be somebody. So I said, I'm Doughboy from Boys in the Hood. And she just says, sure, and gives me all this candy. And back then I thought that she had that reaction because, you know, she never saw the movie and just didn't understand what I was saying. But then later I thought about it, and she could have been thinking like, okay, but if you're Doughboy, why are you wearing a bandana and you're not wearing a black hat snapback with a D on it? And I'll never know. So I was walking away and I was looking through the bag of candy, and I saw that there was a Snickers in it, which is like my favorite candy. And I was just going to go to one house, y'all, just one, be one and done. I was just going to do one and, you know, figured I could just, you know, ask for forgiveness. I kept on hearing about this program called Repentance. I was going to see if maybe, you know, I could qualify for that program and it would be no big deal. But when I saw the Snickers, I was like, okay, I didn't know that they were doing it like this out here on these streets. And so I said, okay, who else's house can I go to? And I look across the street and I see Jenny Ellis's light was on. And I said, okay, let's look to see if Peter Wynn and their light was off. And so I only wanted to go to people I knew because, you know, I was already, you know, I didn't want the razor blades. And so I went to a couple of houses. I went home with my stash of candy, and me and my brother had it for like 2 or 3 days. We didn't tell anybody about it until now, right now. When you're a kid, you believe everything that you're told because you're a kid. But when you get older, you know, one of the cool things is you get to educate yourself. And I, you know, educated myself on Halloween and learned after that it's actually not the devil's holiday after all. And I learned that it's really about honoring the dead and our ancestors, which is really cool. And, you know, just because it's about death doesn't mean that, you know, it's the devil's. And yes, people do bad things on that day. I'm not denying that, but I had to learn that, you know, I couldn't let people's bad deeds dictate my own personal space, or I wouldn't be able to celebrate any day. So I had to let that go. But as I got older, I celebrated Halloween, and I've had some really good Halloween costumes through the years that took me a long time to make. And I've had some really bad Halloween costumes that took me a long time to make. And I've had some pretty cringy costumes that I don't ever want to talk about. But my favorite Halloween costume was when I was styled by my big brother, Courtney. And it was thrown together within 10 minutes. And it was when I was a thug or a doughboy.
So I think the fact that you got a Snickers on your first trick or treat must have been a voice from the heavens saying, this is okay. You could be rewarded for this.
Yes, it was definitely some confirmation or affirmation, like, okay, this is for me. This is for me.
Oh, that's great. And I like that idea of looking down the street for the people that you know so that you won't get something bad.
Right. I was already dealing with going to hell. I didn't want to get there quicker.
Some pretty big messages hanging over you. So, Sneha, I think you're up now. Actually, I was afraid for a moment that I had muted you because I hit mute thinking that meant that you had muted yourself, but no. Okay.
So my story is about the time when I had graduated with a master's in clinical psychology, which was years and years ago, and had just landed my first job as a clinical psychologist in Michigan. In fact, I was a testing psychologist at a day treatment center where individuals with significant symptoms of mental illness would spend their days there for weeks before being discharged. It was also my third Halloween in the United States, but the first that I was going to celebrate, because for those who know me, I moved to the country as an adult. And since Halloween fell on a weekend that year, the center that I worked for decided that the employees and patients would dress up in their costumes on a Wednesday that week at work. And we were going to take pictures. And there is nothing more that I love than dressing up and being in front of the camera. But I was also kind of poor. So I didn't want to spend any money on a costume, so I decided to make my own. And in my mind, I thought that the most brilliant idea was to be a tree. I thought it would be so inexpensive and so creative. I was so proud of myself. So I went to the dollar store and bought thick stems with leaves on them, the kind that you would put in a vase, I guess, with flowers or something, and had the brilliant idea of using safety pins on my sweater to cover the upper part of my body to make it look like foliage, and then wearing brown pants to make the bottom part of my body look like a trunk. And so I gathered all my resources. I had my green sweater, my pants, and the stems, and the day arrived, and I woke up bright and early for my project. And again, for those who know me, I'm not a morning person, so I must have been very excited about this. And I realized quickly that the stems not only looked hideous, but also were too heavy to stay on me with any kind of safety pins. So I decided I wanted to cut them off and maybe just have like the lighter leaves on me. But I didn't realize that dollar stores stocked such high quality plastic stems that could bend craft scissors out of shape. And my safety pins, like I said, didn't work. And fabric glue was out of the question because one, I didn't own any, and secondly, even if I did, I would not want to ruin my pretty green sweater. So my roommate suggested binder clips. Excellent idea, because they did work. However, we only had enough to pin the stems to my shoulders. Nothing on my chest, nothing on my stomach. So there I was, a funny-looking, halfway-grown tree with two trunks because of my two legs and brown pants, and also a human being wearing thick stems of leaves emerging from her shoulders, driving to work in a weird posture to accommodate the ones on her left shoulder. And I thought my 10-minute drive to work would be rather uneventful, and I fantasized about how excited the kids would be to see Miss Desai in her costume. But alas, my excitement was short-lived when a mother in a minivan driving her kid to school rear-ended me at a traffic light. Now, without batting an eyelid, because I was rear-ended also for the very first time, I jumped out of the car, just like she did. And there we were, two frantic women, one dressed perfectly normal and the other like an abnormal tree, and several bystanders discussing what to do about the damage. Honestly, it didn't even occur to me that I looked funny. I didn't know if people were looking at me because, like I said, I was super panicked. And at one point, this lady said, "Can we wrap this up? I'm getting very late to drop my kid off at school." To which I responded, "I am also getting very late to go to the day treatment center." And the look on her face was indescribable. It was a mix of shock, fear, and amusement. And that's when I realized that she had wondered why I was dressed like this and now had decided that she knew why. Nevertheless, we wrapped things up and I continued my drive to work. Needless to say, I was extremely late to work. Walked into people dressed normally because all pictures had already been taken and the employees were no longer in costumes. Well, I was still an abnormal tree, and the kids were definitely not only confused, but also not interested in my costume. I have learned my lesson very well since that Halloween. Halloween costumes are usually characters or something cute or funny or scary, but definitely not a tree. So while I still love DIY costumes, I usually make my dog my scapegoat every year, and he's the one that is now embarrassed every year. Mary, I think you're muted.
Okay, have you ever made him to be a little plant?
I tried, but I had difficulty because he's only 14 pounds and those leaves and stems didn't stick, and I was not going to go buy new leaves at the dollar store. I still have the ones from Michigan because I don't like to throw anything out.
Oh my goodness. Be careful. You may become a hoarder. Well, I did one time fly up to visit a cousin up in Boston, coming from Houston Halloween time. So, of course, it was warm here and cold up there. And I had this thing called a kigu, which is a big, it's like big flannel pajamas. The Japanese make it. You can go Google it, kigu. And they come in all kinds of things. They come as dragons and owls and tigers and cats. And I thought I should have a skeleton because I'm a pathologist, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was flying in my skeleton costume, big baggy skeleton costume, but very comfortable, when they called for a doctor on board. And I thought, well, let me just wait for a minute and see if somebody else gets up. I mean, I'm a pathologist, you know, and my experience is, as I like to say, I see the body in bits and pieces, and when I see it in toto, it's after the fact.
Oh, my God.
And so, but nobody got up, so I got up and went to the back, and it was a person who, I believe, had had what we call a vasovagal attack, got very nervous on the plane and felt faint. And that person's blood pressure, all their vital signs were fine. Yes, I still know how to check vital signs. And I'm standing there talking to them, and then suddenly realizing, as I've gotten involved in all of this person's vital signs and are you okay, and is there something that stressed you, that I wonder what they're thinking of me standing here in the skeleton costume. Maybe that's why they asked for proof that I was a doctor.
Did you have proof on you, or were you just a skeleton treating somebody?
Oh, I happened to have, at that point, I did actually have a little copy of my MD license with me. And so I showed that to them. And I've been called as a doctor on board before, and nobody asked for my license. So I don't know if this had something to do with being a skeleton. It's like,
yeah. I'm sure it did.
Everything.
But I like the tree. Tree is nice and peaceful. I do like it. And
well, it was a very funny looking tree. And I did have a cell phone then that did take really bad pictures. So I do have one picture. And hopefully I will find it and send it to you so you can see how bad it was.
If you send it to me, then I will post it on Facebook. With the advertisement for the So What's Your Story? So you have to get it to me before this Thursday, and I'll say, here it is.
I will try.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you all for making this time. This is Mary Edgerton with my guests, Rob Hallett, Kelly Kills, Ruth Wentz, Sneha Desai, and Nadia Hakim. Right here on So What's Your Story, only on Pacifica, KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston, or live streaming from anywhere that you can get internet on kpft.org. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's happening in the story world. Yes, we are living in COVID time, but you know what? Stories have to be told. So let me begin with our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild, because it's a great place to learn about the art of storytelling. They meet the fourth Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The next meeting will be November 24th on Zoom. Check out their website for details. And while you're on that site, enjoy our past So What's Your Story programs listed on the menu under radio program. It's a great way to connect with stories during the era of Q. So what's their website? You know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. I can never remember, but I live with Google or DuckDuckGo, and I just put in Houston Storytellers Guild, and it takes me to the site. Modern living. Don't miss any of our weekly programs, and not owning a radio is never a problem because you can listen to us live streaming on kpft.org. We have a Facebook page. We're also on YouTube. We are totally into this social media thing. Get to know us by visiting our So What's Your Story Facebook page, and be sure to share it with friends. And we'd love it if you'd like us when you leave. And if you have any program ideas or guests or maybe yourself, let us know by dropping us a note at story@kpft.org. You know, that's really important. We used to meet a lot of people in venues around the city for storytelling. And as happens right now, venues around the city aren't happening because of the virus. So this is the time to drop an email to us and say, hey, I have a story for you. We would love to hear it and broadcast it. And don't forget our friends at The Moth at Warehouse Live. At Warehouse Live, not quite. Like all of us, The Moth has gone virtual. As of now, they plan to have another virtual Houston show in November. And I think it's, you know, to tell you the truth, I don't remember the exact date. But you can keep up with them at their Facebook page, The Moth in Houston, or at themoth.org. And I encourage people to attend and to put their names in. Last time, they had, I think, less than 10 storytellers, although quite a number of listeners. And we need storytellers. we need storytellers, especially right now as we're going through this time. Now, for our listeners who want to take their storytelling skills to the next level, well, why not join the Texas Storytelling Association and the National Storytelling Network? I have just discovered the richness of the Texas Storytelling website. This is Texas, T-E-J-A-S, Storytelling, as it sounds, .com. And their events calendar includes events across the state, including our radio show. So what's not to love about them? I have to admit, I am so proud, and especially for Hank Rubicek, because this is an honor to him as our show's creator. Check out the calendar of events. In the current paradigm, many of them are virtual. So don't have a negative reaction if they mention it's Abilene. Check and see if it's virtual. The silver lining in this pandemic is the ability to visit venues on a virtual basis outside of our physical zones. Well, it's been fun talking about all these shows, but it's time to get back to our show and back to Halloween and costumes. Yes, we have a show to finish for you. Okay, Ruth, I'm going to call on you. You have to unmute yourself. Here we are. We're not in the station. We're not recording in the station. It is semi-live in that it's a live recording to us, but we're learning our Zoom, and our Zoom has to do with unmuting yourself and having a good internet. Ruth, how are you?
I'm ready. I'm unmuted, and I have a good internet.
Oh, very good. Very good. Okay. So we're doing favorite costumes. And it doesn't have to be Halloween. It can be anything. As Rob told us, it can be anything or nothing at all.
Right. Well, this story doesn't have anything to do with flapping. So I don't have any physics issues with this story, luckily.
Whoa, wait a minute. A picture came into my mind. Not good. Not good.
sorry, Mary. This story I want to tell you about is about having small children on Halloween. And, you know, holidays are always about expectations before the holiday and the actual day itself. And sometimes the expectations are more fun than the actual holiday. Like when you have preschoolers and all of the excitement of decorating and picking out the costume, that's so much fun. But when Halloween actually comes and you find yourself carrying in your hands a Thomas the Tank Engine costume that the kid was so excited to have you purchase, and you're just walking next to the kid who's ringing the doorbells and asking for candy, and the people opening the doors are so bewildered, that's not as much fun. But, you know, my son was never an easy child. I mean, this kid, when he was an infant, we used to keep a log, and we would write down the times that he would go to sleep and wake up, because we had to show proof to the pediatrician that this kid could sleep for only 6 hours, evenly spaced over 24 hours. I mean, this was just a difficult kid. And for this guilty working mother, when I would take him to preschool and I would beg at the end of the day for him to tell me just anything about his day, he used to kind of torment me, and he would get this sly smile and he would say, "I just sat in a box all day." He knew that I wanted to get some information. So when he was 4 and my husband and I asked him what he wanted to be for Halloween, he just kind of rolled his eyes around and said, as he looked up, "A ceiling." And we weren't going to let him get away with it this time. So my husband said, "That is great. We are going to make you a ceiling." Now, making a ceiling costume, one must first study ceilings. So we went around our apartment and we took stock of the different ceilings, and our ceilings had recessed lighting. So we cut out Mylar circles and fixed them to a t-shirt in a perfect square to make the lighting. And our ceilings had fans. So we took the cap from a juice bottle and we fixed popsicle sticks to it in a way that it rotated. And there were lights on this fan. So we took pipe cleaners and we put little sequins on the end to make the shiny lights and put them off the fan. And we were lucky enough to have air conditioning. So we made a vent. We cut out a rectangular piece of cardboard with slats. And it was a safe apartment, so we had to have a smoke detector. So all of these things are fixated on the four-year-old's shirt. He's got a round smoke detector, a rectangular vent. He's got a rotating ceiling fan, and he's got recessed lighting. And when Halloween came, he actually wore this costume. And we went, and we trick-or-treated. And very few people actually guessed what he was correctly, that he was a ceiling. Most people thought he was an airplane because he appeared to have a propeller. But everywhere we went, people were impressed that it was a very creative and unusual costume, and they complimented him on his ingenuity, and he kind of basked in that attention. And after that, it started this new tradition of unusual, inanimate objects for Halloween. Like, one year he was a trash can, one year he was a hurricane, which was also a really interesting costume because we made a mechanical rotating storm cloud that he could wear. But the best costume was, I think, a refrigerator, where there were actually doors, cardboard doors that opened, and through the magic of Velcro, we put Velcro on his shirt and Velcro on little play food, so you could take the food in and out of him. And when he wore that to school, the kids went nuts. They played with him like he was the best toy you'd ever seen. They kept opening and closing his doors and taking the food out of him and sticking the food on him until he burst into overstimulation tears. But that is still, I think the coolest costume, because, you know, that costume, really, you really get your money out of that one because you can play with it. But I think the moral of this story is, you know, as you are thinking about your Halloween costume options, just, you know, look around, because the best costume might be right under or over your nose.
Perfect. It's a little bit of be careful what you wish for when you're talking to your parents. I want to be a ceiling because they just might turn you into one.
Absolutely. We do have limits.
I love it. I love the creativity. You know, I really like that refrigerator idea. Although I have already decided that this year I'm going to go as a plague doctor. You know, the 16th century, 17th century doctors who had the beak nose with the flowers in it and the clothing. So I'm a plague doctor. But I have to tell you, one year I did go, this was actually during the first election that Barack Obama entered when he ran against John McCain. And what's her name from Alaska was running again?
Palin,
Sarah Palin. And Sarah Palin had described herself at one point as, "I'm a hockey mom. We're pit bulls with lipstick." And then shortly after that, she was being criticized for buying all kinds of expensive clothes at Neiman Marcus. So I go to my costume with bright red lipstick on and holding a lipstick stick. And I've made puppy dog ears just out of paper, put them over my head. And then I bought a dog collar that was like these studs, but they had crystals on them. So they're supposed to look like diamonds. And I made a little price tag for it, $150,000. And I figured, I wonder how many people will know that I'm a pit bull with lipstick here. I'm Sarah Palin. And you know what? I won the contest. They recognized it, but refrigerator, I'm going to have to tuck that baby away. No, ceiling, I think I like even better, okay? After I decide to wear clothes again, because, you know, I just might not wear any costume. And I have dressed like a thug before when I lived in San Francisco, and I thought I needed muggers' courtesy to walk around the streets. Like, maybe if I looked like a thug, nobody would rob me, because there's got to be some professional courtesy among muggers. Yeah. Okay. Nadia, how are you doing? How are you holding down during COVID?
You know what? It's like right before we started talking, I was watching RuPaul's Drag Race, and a little before that, reading Lord of the Rings. So I think that's that's a perfect summation of it. Just a lot of reading and RuPaul. So
a lot of fantasy.
I know. I was like, this is going to make for a really interesting story if she's getting me just right off of this binge watch. So, but I work for the health department, so it's been kind of a roller coaster. So I think I need the fantasy to take the edge off, right? So
absolutely.
The fantasy and fun. Yeah,
absolutely. So speaking of RuPaul, what is your costume story?
Well, I mean, I suppose there were a couple of exciting costumes. Anyways, one Halloween, I remember my then girlfriend, now she's my wife, Shannon, and I, we went to Austin. I'm certain it was our first Halloween together. And we met up with my sister and her boyfriend. They were living in Amarillo at the time. They were in pharmacy school. And we met up a couple of other friends. So we had told people, hey, we're going to Austin. And of course, when you're looking to party in Austin, everyone says Sixth Street is where it's at. You've got to go to Sixth Street. It's so wild. That's where all the crazy parties are at. So we planned on heading there. And even though my sister and I were hundreds of miles away from each other, we had the same idea for costumes, which is minimal effort. Look in your closet. What do I already have? So she showed up wearing her tiger onesie, and I showed up in my panda onesie, which honestly is like more risque than anything else because, I mean, it's fleece, and it just gets so gosh dang hot in Texas and just stays that way all the way through Thanksgiving usually. So Shannon was an adorable unicorn, of course, and then my sister's boyfriend, Milad John, is this big Persian boy she met in pharmacy school. She's like my grandmother's pride and joy. We're half Iranian, and my sister's the only doctor, and she met another Iranian doctor, and that's who she's with. So Milad John, he's got this impressive mustache that would make grown men weep just at the mere sight of it. And he comes out in these overalls and a red shirt and a red cap and some white gloves, and he's just this super ginormous Mario brother. And like, I still to this day, I will find myself pondering, like, where do you even find overalls that big? Like, I still have no idea. I guess maybe from the feed store or something like that. I don't know. Anyways, we meet up our friends on 6th Street, and one is dressed as the woman off the Chiquita bananas, you know, on stickers. And we look at her friend Josh, and we're trying to piece it together, and clearly we're missing something. We're looking at each other, and finally just, hey, Josh, dearest, what's your costume? And just looks at us aghast, and there's a very blatant, well, isn't it obvious look, and he just rolls his eyes, and he's like, clearly, I am a sexy lumberjack, of course. And we take another glance at him. And of course, now that we know this information, it's obvious. Like, with the jean booty shorts and steel-toed boots and his beanie and the plaid shirt that's tied up to expose his midriff, his navel, he couldn't be anything else other than a sexy lumberjack. So here we are. We got our ragtag group together, and we start our trek down 6th Street, and the lines are just ridiculously long, and they're just obnoxiously drunk people everywhere. And so we look, and we said, all right, well, that line looks the shortest. Let's stand there and stick to it. And we're there for 20 minutes, and fights are, like, breaking out down the street just everywhere. And we get to the door, and there's a $15 cover charge per person. Fine, it's Halloween, and yeah, we guess it's busy weekend. We pretty much, we rationalize it, and we pay up the $15, and we get inside, and it is terrible music on a terrible sound system, and everyone's on top of each other, like it's a violation of a fire code, I'm certain. And there are just creepers everywhere, like just checking you out. Like they're standing in the corners and licking their lips. Like it's really disgusting. And alcohol isn't helping because the booze is watered down and overpriced. And we lasted about 15 minutes in there. So averaged about $1 a minute per person. Fine. And we get back into the street and we're kind of discouraged and just, whew, that was a bust. But we watched some really fun costumes walk by us and walk down a crossroad and a couple streets over. And we all kind of had the same idea. And someone finally asked it out loud, like, hey, should we head in that direction? And someone replied, they're probably heading over to Austin's version of Houston's Montrose, where all the gay clubs are at. It's only a couple streets over. And I was just thinking, we have three gay people in this group, and none of us had thought like this as a first attempt. Oh, like how could we not think of this before? So yeah, we immediately head down the street and pop into the first club we see, and it's called, I think it was called Rain. Anyways, there's no cover charge, and like you've got these purple lights coming out the door, and people are welcoming and just, come on in, come to the fun, and fantastic costumes. They're so clever. Some of them are really elaborate. Like, and it's just an open dance floor where you don't feel as though you're on display and being preyed on. And at one point, they jump from a Lady Gaga song to Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody. And I just see our gang, like, they're singing at the top of their lungs in the middle of the floor. And I'll never forget this scene. Like, Milajon with his giant overalls, he's just has his hands raised over his head and he's got the biggest smile coming from under that mustache and he's just sashing his hips on beat and singing along. Oh, it was so great. And I don't know why I remember this part so distinctly, but like at one point I asked the bartender for a cup of water and he pointed me in the direction of a giant cooler with a spigot. And like even the free water was infused with lemon and cucumber. Oh, it was so good. But yeah, that was our first and last encounter with Sixth Street. And like, honestly, if I was ever in that area again, I would immediately go to the gayborhood, right? But yeah, I can't imagine there being a better,
yeah, how can you
better
go
story that comes from that area. Yeah.
How can you,
yeah, go? So, I mean, I
perfect moment.
I don't think it could be topped. Exactly. Right. I don't think it could be top. So we haven't attempted. But yeah.
How long ago was that?
Gosh, it was maybe 4 years ago, I think. Maybe three, four years ago. So it wasn't even that long, but it seems, I guess with COVID, like an eternity ago, right? Like, the good old days when we used to go out to the clubs and dance on each other.
Right. Well, I like to refer to them as freeze frame moments. You know, it's just so perfect. Just freeze the frame. Just stay here as long as we can. Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, absolutely.
So that will be a good one to think of in the next several days when Halloween comes around, which is one good thing about this Halloween is we're going to have a full moon. That's all I can say. Other than that.
Oh.
Yeah. And we won't have one again until 2039. So maybe that's not a good thing. Maybe that's, oh, damn, Halloween in the middle of COVID. The last one.
Wait, so moon. It won't be another, oh, so it's like a full moon period. It's not even like full moon on Halloween.
It's a full moon that will be on Halloween. And there will not be another full moon on Halloween until 2039.
Oh, until 2039. Okay. Yeah. Right. It's like, how does that work? Okay.
Yeah. No, that'll be full moons. They just won't be on Halloween until 2039. And so it's like,
I was like, Mary knows something that we don't.
Yeah. You know, did I tell you about the end of the world coming with COVID? But we're going to be reborn in 2039 under a full moon.
Got it. Siri, add this to my calendar.
Yes, that will be the Halloween to go back to Sixth Street for.
Amazing. Okay. Skips to Sixth Street altogether. Just go to the gayborhood.
Yeah.
I think it's on like 3rd or 4th Street or something like that. So
Okay, I have to check that out. I hear that the Austin Pride Parades are the best in the country.
Really? I haven't been. Yeah, I haven't been.
They're supposed to be, I think the New York Times has had articles about them. They're supposed to be better than New York. So I enjoy ours here in Houston.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that story with us. And yeah, freeze frame. Remember that moment. A perfect moment.
Of course. It's always good to see you, Mary. Thank you for having me.
Same here. Okay. Till next time.
Take care.
Bye.
All right. Love you, gal. Bye.
I want to thank all of my guests tonight. Rob Hallett, Kelly Kells, Ruth Wentz, Sneha Desai, and Nadia Hakim. Thank you so much for being on the show. Rob, your spirit lives on within us. Kelly, I wish a basket full of Snickers for you. Ruth, your son is grown now. I bet he has very fond memories of his very unique costumes. Sneha, you must watch the movie King of Hearts about patients in a mental asylum in World War I in France whose doors are left open by the war. And finally, Nadia, there is nothing to add to a perfect moment because it's a perfect moment. Thank you all. Thank you all for telling your stories. I think we're all going to have a great Halloween. Think of freedom, not necessarily body-wise. Think of candy. Think of unusual costumes, mistaken identities, and think of perfect moments. And while you're taking a moment to think of all those things, don't think of moving the dial, because Lars is up next with a sweet mix of singer-songwriters on the Tennyson tapes. So make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Thursday at 8 p.m. for So What's Your Story, and treasure what you hear. Keep loving great stories, and we'll keep bringing them to you. This is Dr. E, and along with the rest of So What's Your Story team, we never want you to forget that it's never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
Life is worth living. Family Houston is a nonprofit organization that provides mental health counseling for children in the greater Houston area. Family Houston's counseling program helps children manage negative feelings before they interfere with school or lead to risky behaviors. Appointments can be made in English or Spanish by calling 713-861-4849. For more information, email media@familyhouston.org or visit us on